For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Brother Jack's already mentioned it, and Carrie already mentioned it, so we're giving thanks for all things. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, most certainly understood this idea, and I believe he modeled the right kind of thanksgiving in a number of places. I won't necessarily read through all of them, but I've got a few verses here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1 and verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So Paul really had this understanding that it was important to offer up thanksgiving. And he did so for the saints. He did so for the family of God. And he did so recognizing that without the support of the family of God. Now, God told Paul directly, my grace is sufficient for you. But I believe that part of that grace of God is the family support that God gives us. Now, I suppose, being honest, we might have to confess tonight that it doesn't always seem easy to find thankfulness. Especially when some negative things happen that might not directly serve a sense of joy and evoke thoughts of thanksgiving. Maybe your car won't start and you're late for work. Maybe you get a flat tire. Maybe there's bad news from a family member. Or maybe there's a sudden health issue. In those moments, it might not always be easy to say, thank God my car didn't start and now I'm late to work. No, we know that that's... But here's the point. Even in those things, if we are walking the way we ought to walk, we can thank God that He's taken care of us even through those times. And even though it might be hard to find thankfulness sometimes, we are told in Scripture, in fact, commanded, as it were, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, circumspectly, that's a big $5 word. It means to walk cautiously, to walk with watchfulness in every way, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. Walk circumspectly. Walk being on guard from surprise or danger. And that danger can be as much an internal, heart-generated danger of letting circumstances get the better of us, to rob us of our witness ability, or worse, to destroy our testimony as a child of God. It can be that dangerous from internal to our souls as much as it could be an external danger, because, in fact, the days in which we live are no less evil than when Paul penned this inspired letter from God. But he goes on to say, the end of that particular passage, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So what is that? Glad you asked. We always ask, and it's great because God gives us the answer. We find out exactly, at least in part, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You can't get any clearer than that. This is the will of God. Okay, I guess that's the will of God for me. That's what the Bible says. We have to accept it. So we're commanded by God, through Paul, to give thanks for all things. And then, because God knows that we, as frail and fallible humans, might try to find exception with that. You mean I've got to give thanks for this really, really bad thing that just happened to me? No, because God, but we think we're smarter than God sometimes, right? But God is smarter than we are because he's covered that and he says, give thanks in all things. So even if you smart humans think that you're going to get around it by not giving thanks for something bad, you can still give thanks in it. I don't suppose Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, thank you, God, for that furnace. It's heated 7 times hotter just for us. That's great. No, but I do believe that they said, thank you, God, that you're going to be right there with us. It doesn't matter what we're going to go through because you are with us. They could thank God in it. So you see, he says, thank God for all things, thank God in all things. Well, then I wonder, if we don't start trying to reason things out in our minds, and then we start to say, how many times can I give thanks for the same things over and over and over again? Every year we go through a Thanksgiving service. Every year we're going to be thankful for this. We're going to be thankful for our spouses, and rightfully so. We're going to be thankful for our church, and rightfully so. But do you wonder sometimes, as humans, do we start to think, how many times can I just give thanks and be honest about giving thanks over and over and over again? Every Sunday afternoon or evening and every Wednesday evening, we open up for testimony time, for time to give thanks and to praise God for things that he's doing. And how often do we wonder, I said that last week, I can't say that again this week. Well, the Bible tells us that we don't have to just give thanks over and over and over for the same things. The Bible tells us that we can have an abundance, and we can have many thanksgivings. Turn with me, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, if you've read through this a time or two, if you recall your Bible reading, you might recognize this particular passage as one that is often used in messages that are centered around tithing or giving of offerings financially. And it is most certainly applicable as such, but I believe also that there is more to this passage. More than just how much can you put in the offering plate. There's more that we can glean out of this passage regarding our ability to give thanks. Now, given that we are called to be witnesses of Christ, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And given that we are being transformed and we're being conformed to the image of Christ, that's in Romans 12 and Romans chapter 8, we are expected as Christians, as children of God, to share the gospel of Christ, to spread the word of God, to spread the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, to sow the seed, as it were. That's what we are expected to do. Look with me in our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse number 6. The Bible says here, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, looking at verse number 7, you might say that it's talking about our tithes and offerings. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. And sure, absolutely, it's talking about that. But we ought also, should we not, be cheerful in giving of our time to God. We ought also to give cheerfully of our talent to God. It's more than just how much we're going to put in the offering plate. It's how much we are going to give of ourselves to the service of God. How much does God have of me? Does he just have my checkbook, or does he have my heart? Does he have my time, or is my time outside of, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and maybe on a revival service? Those are times that I'll give to God, but outside of that, I'm going to work, and I'm taking care of my family, and I'm doing what I want to do. Or how much time does God have of you? You see, God loveth a cheerful giver. So, in that sense, look again with me at verse number 6. It says again, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you give God just a little bit of time, how much of God are you going to reap back? If you give God just a little bit of yourself, how many blessings are you going to get for yourself from God? God says, you can't spend a lot of time with me. I can't really bless you all that much. But to him that giveth bountifully, you'll also reap bountifully. The more we give to God of ourselves, the more God can bless us and fill the needs that we have. The more that we give to God in personal devotion and in outward service, the more blessings we will be able to reap. And God loveth a cheerful giver. So don't get upset when God chooses to give you a specific task. Maybe you're gone to church, and maybe somebody has asked you, hey, can you help out in this area? Hey, we've got junior church coming up next year. Hey, we've got this to do on a Wednesday night. Hey, we've got this to do on a Saturday morning. Hey, can you do this? Don't get upset. Oh, I've got to do this again for the church. Remember who it is that's asking. You're being asked by the supreme, holy creator of the universe to do something for him. He may ask you through the leadership that he has put in place, but you're being asked to do something by God. So don't get upset when God asks you to do something and, oh, it might take an extra hour on the next. Oh, I've got things to do on Saturday. I can't. Be careful, right? I find that I have been guilty of that all too often. And the best part of this is in verse number 8. Look again. Verse number 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You see, God will give you what you need to accomplish the work that he asks you to do. God's grace is sufficient. He says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you'll have sufficiency in all things and be able to abound to every good work. Now that might be hard to comprehend, might be hard to understand, because we kind of get caught up sometimes in the idea that we're not capable, or we're not good enough, or we're a sinner that I've done some terrible things in my life. Yeah, you have, and guess what? So have I, and so has the Apostle Paul. And yet, right in the middle of what the Apostle Paul was doing against God, God said, it's time for you to wake up. It's time for you. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What are you doing, Paul? And Paul said, what shall I do for thee, Lord? It completely changed him right in the middle of what he was doing against God. Have we thought about that ever? Oh, he was on the road to Damascus. Oh, yeah, there was great light from heaven. Oh, that was great. And it changed his life. Yes, it did. Right smack in the middle of him going to persecute Christians. So now tell me, have you done something so bad that God can't say, it's time, I need you. I have something for you to do. By the way, when I heard yesterday that pastor was taking a hiatus in a place that I didn't want to be taking a hiatus, I said, oh boy, I don't know, that doesn't sound good. Wait, we have church tomorrow night. Wait, pastor said he was going to have a message. Maybe we should cancel tomorrow night. That went through my mind. I'm telling you right now, it went through my mind. Pastor's not going to be there. Maybe we ought to just cancel church because we're not ready for doing that. But God said, no. It's time to go to church. I've given you the tools, and I will give you the tools that you need. Just be available. Just make yourself available to God. And he will give you what you need to accomplish the task that he gives to you, regardless of how it might come. Now, if God asks you to do something, don't you think that he will follow through with the words that we just read in verse 8? He will give you the grace that you need. He will have all sufficiency for you toward all things. Verses 9 and 10 here are recorded as evidence that indeed God does what he says he will do. Verses 9 and 10, it's a parenthetical expression. All that means is that it's put in parentheses. And it says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see, right in the middle he says, look, I've done this before. I know what I'm doing. You can trust me. Because God does know exactly what he's doing. And he will give you what you need if you give yourself to him. So from verse 8, which says, well again, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Jump now down to verse number 11 and watch what happens. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Wait a minute, we just started out saying, but I'm thankful for the same things over and over and over and over and over. So here's the answer. Start getting more busy for God. Start giving yourself more to God, and he'll give you more things to be thankful for, that you don't have to get bored with saying, thank you, God, for my food, and thank you, God, for my bed. And those are great things to be thankful for, and we ought never to not be thankful for those things. Oh, but the bountifulness that God has in store for us if we'll give ourselves to him and let him work through us. Oh, the thanksgiving that we might be able to give in a setting like this and encourage someone else to say, give yourself to God. This is exciting. Ultimately, we could practically summarize these few verses by understanding this. The more we actively serve God, the more we actively share his word, sow his seed, as it were, and use our time and our talent, whatever that talent might be, to point others and to lead them to Christ, to do the work of God, the more testimonies and offerings of thanksgiving we will have. And then people are going to be like, how do you have all these thanksgivings? How do you have all these things to be so thankful for? I gave myself to God. There's no secret. We sing a song sometimes. It is no secret what God can do. He'll do what he's done for others. He'll do for you. Right? That's not a secret. Give yourself to God. He'll give you the things that you need. Not only will we now have an abundance of things to be thankful for, but see what God goes on to say here in verse 12. Verse 12, he says, for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also to many thanksgivings unto God. I believe that Paul, right here in this verse, is giving us his testimony of what Paul experienced. Remember, Paul was Saul the persecutor who was changed by the revelation of Jesus Christ and was given what he needed and what he lacked spiritually as he began giving himself to God's service. So it will, friends, by God's abundant grace, happen to and happen for us. As we cheerfully step further into God's service, God will grow our ability. God will grow our understanding. God will grow our compassion. God will grow our spiritual experience and strength to continue on. And then one final word. Look at that, it's 8 o'clock. One final word and we'll close out this message. Look with me at verse number 15. Jumping all the way to the end of the chapter, the Bible says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable, that is undescribable, that is incomprehensible gift. We can't understand how God would give such a gift to fallen man. And yet he does. And he loves us and he gives us the tools that we need if we'll give ourselves to him. Let that be our Thanksgiving challenge this year. Step further into the service of God and watch to see how God provides and how many more Thanksgivings we can have. Let's pray. Oh, our Father in heaven, Lord, when we pause to just say thank you, it might not seem like an adequate enough word. It might not seem, Lord, like an adequate enough thanks. And Lord, it may be true. It may not be adequate enough to just say thank you. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to act on our thanks, to step further into your service as you have given us charge in your word. Lord, help us to be that not grudging but cheerful giver of our time and our talent. Lord, even if we don't believe there's a talent to be had, Father, as a child of God, oh, we have the resources that go beyond any imagination. And Lord, you can give us everything that we need. God, help us to not be so short-sighted in and of ourselves, but Lord, help us to be courageous, to stand in faith, and to move forward for you. Whether it be this Thanksgiving, whether it be this week, this month, before this year is out, Lord, may we make the decision tonight to not be stagnant, but to move forward in our faith, to move forward in our service for you, to watch how you will accomplish great and mighty things because of your grace, because of your love for us. Lord God, we thank you so very much. We love you. Help us to love you more. And we pray and we ask these things in our precious Savior Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.